Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Praise Yah. I pray you're doing well out there today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So today I want to discuss the importance of our lifestyle and how we look to others and where it begins. So many believers often also ask themselves how they can have a greater impact for our Creator's kingdom. And we often, when we think about this question, we think about preaching or evangelizing or missions or teaching the Bible or something to show a Christian walk. And those are wonderful things, but Scripture teaches that the first ministry is much closer than we often think. It's not about going to the world or street preaching and street evangelizing to the world. Before our Creator sends us to influence the world, He calls us to faithfully represent Him in our own homes. Our greatest ministry is not what strangers think about us. Our greatest testimonial is what people who know us best think about our walk with our Creator. This is something we need to ponder. You might get many likes on the internet, on social media. You might have people that don't know you say good things in the comments. But what are the people that do know you say? Ask yourself these questions. If somebody lived in your house for a year, would they see Messiah in you? Do your words and actions match the faith that you profess? These are the things you need to ask yourselves. And I often ask myself and ponder to make sure and to remind myself that, you know, no matter what I'm doing in the world, this is what I must be doing in front of my house and my loved ones and everyone else. To know that this is real and not just some show for whatever reason, whether it's money or popularity or whatever. Is this who I am or is this who I pretend to be? We look in the Scriptures where it says and shows how our Creator demonstrated His love for others. And the question today that I would like you all to think about is, how do you demonstrate your love of our Creator to others out there? So that's something to discuss or think about. One of the Torah scholars came and heard them debating, seeing Yeshua had answered them well, and he asked him, which commandment is first of all? And Yeshua answered, the first is, Hear, O Israel, Lord our Elohim is one. And you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind and strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these two. Mark 12:28-31. So, understanding this, our Creator and our loved ones. Loving our Creator cannot be separated from loving people. Our love of our Creator is invisible if it becomes visible in how we treat others. We must treat everyone, not on a idea like we're acting, but this must be who we are or who we become. Many of us want a deeper relationship with our Creator while ignoring relationships that Yahweh has already placed in our lives. We cannot claim to love the Father while consistently mistreating those made in His image. So, in teaching this today, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Not about the world on a worldly level at your office meeting or at your friend's house, but how do you speak to your spouse and your children in your house? Are you patient with them? What about your mother and your father? Do those closest to you see you expressing the love of Messiah the way you want other people to perceive you? I've heard a long time ago by several excellent preachers that if you want to be a representative for Yeshua. If you want to go out and preach the gospel to the world, which we should be doing, we must understand that the first ministry must be at home. Not start at home, but stay at home. Begin and be at home. Understand this. You cannot get along with everyone in this world and then have an issue with your spouse and your closest siblings and think that that's okay. We need to ponder these things before we preach to strangers, before we teach Bible students, and before we travel on mission trips. Our Creator has already given us people to love. The home is where patience is tested and forgiveness is practiced, and humility is developed and selfishness is exposed. The character of Yeshua must be formed within us, and it starts within our home. 1 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5 says, "He must manage his own household well, keeping the children under control with all dignity." But if someone does not know how to manage his household, his own household, how will he care for our Creator's community? You understand, our Creator begins by examining how we lead people in our lives on a daily basis that he's already entrusted to us. Leadership in Scripture always begins with faithfulness. Many people dream of having wonderful ministries or being considered a great representative of our Creator. But too often, they neglect their present responsibilities. Our Creator often prepares us for larger responsibilities by teaching us the smaller ones. And I'm not necessarily going to just say smaller, but the ones that do not seem as significant to us. But they're very significant. Being a follower of a wonderful Messiah is more than just having knowledge about Scripture, folks. We must have the knowledge. It is important. We should know Scripture and study our Creator's Word every day. But no matter how many commandments you think you're keeping, no matter how well you think you're living in the Scriptures, knowledge without transformation produces pride. And we see this in Scripture. The Pharisees knew the Scriptures better than anyone else. Yet many of them failed to recognize Messiah standing in front of them. And they had an issue with Messiah. But our Creator wants truth to reach our hearts, not merely our minds. One of the foundations we teach here at Scripture is not just to look at the physical acts that are done in public, but look at our heart and what our heart wants us to do. James 1, 22-25 says, "But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately forgets what he looked like. But the one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom, and continues it in not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he shall be blessed in what he does." It's not just about physically doing something, but we have to understand the things of the heart that he wants us to accomplish. Remember, the Bible has to be like that mirror. When we look at the words of our Creator, every time we read it, we should be asking, what needs to change in me? What attitude needs to die? What sin needs to be confessed? Where do I need to become more like Messiah? Continually working to get there. The purpose of reading Scripture is transformation, and the goal is simply not just to learn more. The goal is to be more, to be closer to Yeshua and be like Yeshua. So I pray that I can, in my life, be humble enough to know that I have a long way to go. And I pray the same thing for all of you here. As much as we think we have spiritual maturity, as much as we think we've arrived at a certain place, We often think it's measured by our knowledge of Scripture or how often we go to an assembly or how involved we are in our ministries or how many years we've been a believer. But Scripture points us to something different. The Ruach HaKodesh, the set-apart Holy Spirit, changes our character. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Notice what is listed. Not gifts or talents or ministry positions. Character. Ask yourself, am I becoming more patient, more kind, gentle, and self-controlled? These are the qualities that should first be seen by those closest to us. Love is patient. The greatest test of love often is inconvenience. How we react when something happens that doesn't fit our schedule, when plans change, when we get disappointed, and then we start to see Messiah in us, and we have this test of this to see where we're at. 1 Corinthians 13, 4, verse 7 talks about love being patient and kind, not envy and not brag. It is not puffed up. It is not to behave inappropriately, and it does not seek its own way. It's not provoked. It keeps no account of wrongings. It does not rejoice over injustice, but it rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, and hopes all things, and endures all things. This is the words of our Creator. It's not just describing love. It's describing character. We hear the word love and we think, oh, it's talking about what love is. No, it's talking about what character is. The character of Messiah. Now ask yourself, what would those closest to me say? And how would they describe me? Would my spouse or my children describe me this way? What about my neighbors and my coworkers? It's this passage that shouldn't be measured of what our knowledge of love is, but a daily checklist for spiritual growth. Remember what our Creator has done for us, and do that for others. And it's one of the greatest reasons believers struggle to forgive others, is because they forget how much the Creator has done for themselves. Think about that mirror example again. When you look at our Creator, when you look and read the Word, when you think about our Creator, are you mirroring that character in your own life? This is why we think about, or we should be thinking about, what Yeshua did for us on the cross, and how he's forgiven every one of us, and how much do we forgive others? How patient are we with others? Ephesians 4:31-32 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be removed from you, along with all malice. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as our Creator Messiah also forgave you." You see, Paul first tells us what to remove. Bitterness, wrath, and anger, harsh speech, slander, and malice. And then he tells us what to put on. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness. The reason we forgive is not because people deserve it. We forgive because Messiah forgave us when we did not deserve it. Is there anyone you refuse to forgive? Or that has made you have bitterness in your heart towards? Are you treating the other the same way that our Creator treated you? Think about the mirror. Think about that. Our Creator wants us to bear with one another. There are not perfect people in this world, including ourselves. Every congregation has imperfect people. Every family has somebody who's not perfect. And there are situations in marriage that things aren't going to be imperfect. In all your relationships, whether it's with your job situation, with your children, nothing's ever going to be perfect. Why? Because every one of us is still growing. Our Creator does not ask us to love only mature people and mature believers. He asks us to love one another while we are still being transformed. Colossians 3 verses 12 to 14 says, therefore, as Yahweh's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has grievance against another, just as Yahweh forgave you, so as you must forgive. Above all, these things put on love, which is the bond of perfect harmony. Notice what believers are commanded to wear. Just as we put clothing on every morning, we have to put on compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Think about these things. Focus on these things every day. This is what it is, digging deep into this. Not just once or one day a week, but every day. What qualities come to you naturally and what don't? Remember, it's not, love is not just an emotion. It's a decision. And we must make these wise decisions. Mercy reflects the heart of our Creator. You know, justice will give people what they deserve, but mercy is different. Mercy gives people compassion even when they have failed. And Yahweh, our Creator, has done this to us, given us incredible mercy, and now we ask us to mirror Messiah and do that to others. Luke 6, 35 to 36 says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great. For he is kind to the grateful and evil. Be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Notice our Creator's example that he sets for us. Kind to people who reject him. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. For Heavenly Father shows mercy to sinners every day. How can we refuse to show mercy to one another? Does not merely mean approving of sin. It means treating people with compassion while still standing for truth. So this is what we must prove to ourselves and others. Love. Anyone can be kind to someone who is kind to them. The true test comes when someone treats us unfairly. How do we respond? If someone lies about you or speaks harshly, or cheats you or disappoints you, what is your response? That is when our faith becomes visible. Romans 12, 17 to 21 says, repay no one evil for evil. Take care to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live in shalom with everyone. Never take your own revenge, loved ones, but give room for Yahweh's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Yahweh. Rather, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah, brothers and sisters. Just take a second, and I pray this is resonating with you. Notice that Paul doesn't say evil shall be ignored. Instead, he tells believers not to respond evil for more evil. The believer's weapon should be goodness. Our goal is not to win arguments. Our goal is to reflect Messiah. You know, we got pride and humility, and the scriptures talks about one. in a negative way and one in a positive way. And you know the answer. It's humility that keeps our relationships healthy. If we have consistently issues with people, we need to think about pride, because it destroys relationships, where humility restores it. Pride says, I deserve better. Humility says, I have received far more mercy than I deserve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 5 says, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourselves, looking out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Messiah Yeshua. The attitude of Messiah should become our attitude. That's it. Ask yourself and think about this. Don't answer immediately. Are you quick to listen? Are you slow to become offended? And do you insist on having the last word? Are you willing to admit when you're wrong? Remember, humility strengthens relationships. And we see and understand the senses that we have, and understand people are seeing and hearing us. Our speech should point people toward Messiah. That's it. That's it. Our communication should point people to Messiah. People are watching us. Remember, there's no day off. Every conversation leaves an impression. After talking with somebody, you shouldn't know, was that person a believer or not? And the same thing when somebody's talking to you, they shouldn't have a guess or an idea. They should know 100% that person is different. That person's set apart. That person believes in Yahshua. You should never have a conversation with a human being where they don't know that. After speaking with you, people should walk away knowing that person has what I want. And it's not because I can quote many verses or the person, you know, can say how many churches he's been to, but because they experienced an overwhelming amount of kindness and grace and truth, something that they just don't see on a regular basis. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6 says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be grace, always be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know you ought to answer each person. Okay? So when you speak to say things, or before you even say anything, you know, think about what you're saying. Will these words build up and honor our Creator that I'm about to speak? Ask yourself that before every sentence, before every tone you take in your voice. Would you be comfortable inviting that person to hear the gospel? Because if you're not speaking to them the right way or treating them with kindness, probably wouldn't be comfortable talking about Yeshua with them, right? And just being silent at the right time, sometimes that's more powerful in the impression you set to others. Remember, somehow, some way, our speech should let people know, or at least be curious about Messiah and serving Him. Becoming more like Him is not an emotion, it's a daily choice. Spiritual growth does not happen automatically. Every day we should choose to forgive and be patient and show mercy and humble ourselves to love. Every difficult person you meet should be an opportunity to help you become more like Yeshua. You see that? when somebody sees somebody who they don't like or a situation they don't want to be in, this is a situation that I could be more like Yeshua. Just if you thought about it that way, if you were internally thinking about this, instead of thinking, how dare this person talk to me like that or disrespect me like that, what if you were thinking, thank you, Father Yahweh, for putting this person in my life and for teaching me to be more like Messiah and to grow in the way I react? Wow, your life would change. Your life would change. Make that choice. Luke 9:23 says, then Yeshua was saying to everyone, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself and take up his cross every day and follow me. Following Messiah means daily surrender. Every day we choose whether we want to follow our flesh or the spirit. And every day our Creator gives us these opportunities to deny ourselves. Those opportunities often come through difficult times, difficult relationships. As you hear this message, ask yourself or ask our Creator to reveal a relationship with you that needs healing or needs to be better, where you can change that person's perspective about by the way you're acting, to take away from you the things that are keeping people from seeing Messiah in you. Don't wait for that person to contact you. Contact them. Messiah took the first step towards us while we were all sinners, and let's do the same for others. Thank you, Father, for this blessed day, and help us to be more like you. And thank you for every opportunity you give us every day. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed day. Yah be with you this day and always. Shalom. Thank you for listening. I pray this message will hit something in your heart to make you seek to be more closer to our Creator and more transformed each day. Brothers and sisters, we have fellowship at the end of the week on Fridays, 8 p.m. on our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries, and we do prayer in the mornings on there as well. Thank you, Father, for this blessed day. May you transform all of us.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah
Life Ministry. Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.